100 Word Stories.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the 100 Word Stories podcast. I'm your host, Lawrence Simon. Today is Sunday, so instead of the usual daily stories from me, it's your turn. I call this the weekly challenge, where I post a topic and you come up with the stories. The topic this week, let's see. Oh, it was 100 miles. We've got a lot of stories this week, so let's go ahead and get right to it. First up, let's go with Thomas, over there at Fifth Coffee. I haven't had any coffee this morning yet. I guess that's why I'm getting this one out late. Thomas, tell us a
story. 100 miles. The 100-mile race began in downtown Squim and trailed up through the foothills. It was the annual Easy Electric shopping cart race sponsored by Safeway and Kroger's. Local retirees entered every year, some succumbing to the excitement and temperature, pushing 65. Last year, Monica Smithereen won, but it was later discovered that she had juiced, so the second-place winner, Horace Morris, took the prize money and trophy home. No one discovered the plasticizers in his urine as a result of Mrs. Morris hooking up her IV to Horace before the race and pumping him with B12 and amphetamine. The first 100 miles of the southern border with Canada had ultimately been sealed with high walls of wire and concrete. It was hastily built to keep out the hordes of Chinese yuppies sneaking into the States near Vancouver to buy foreclosed homes, vacated restaurants, Hummer dealerships, and real estate offices in Washington. Xenophobes panicked and rushed to their druggists and psychic counselors. The border was policed with air and sea drones cobbled together by local computer and RC hackers. Among them, Jay Gordon, who built his armed drone out of recycled foam board and parts from his uncle's weed whacker.
Thank you, Thomas. Hooking up to the IV. You know, I could be hooked up to an IV full of coffee at this point, if I had made some coffee. That would wake me up. Thanks, man. All right, who's next? It's Serendipity Haven. All right, let's go ahead and get this one in the can. Anyone got any spare cans? Oh, okay, there's one. With legs horribly bruised and bleeding, he dragged himself across the finish line. Quite an achievement. 100 miles, crawling on hands and knees. But where were the cheering crowds, the welcoming committee, and smiling sponsors? Coming to think of it, where the hell had any of them been throughout the whole laborious route? Throwing his rucksack to the floor in disgust, he watched as his trusty compass bounced across the tarmac. That was odd. He picked it up, shook it. The needle never moved. In horror, realization dawned. He'd successfully crawled 100 miles, but only in the wrong blasted direction. Thank you, Serendipity. Now you may wonder why the midget sounds so strange this week. Well, Letitia Coronet from last week said, well, maybe you should read those in your own voice. You know, the midget seems, well, never mind. So, I'm going to experiment this week by reading them in my voice, and then you folks can vote in the comments on how you feel about all that. Bring back the midget, try, you know, a little mix in that, farm them out to people who are volunteers who love recording stories. You know, that kind of thing. We'll see how it goes. Although if someone sends it in at early Sunday morning, it's kind of hard to farm it out. That's when the midget comes back. All right. Let's see. Next up, we've got Tura. All right. Let's go ahead and give Tura a listen. What have you got for us?
Kate and I start together, but we're both going at our own pace, so we separate fairly soon. First refreshment point at 20 miles. I drink some water, stop a minute, then carry on. East Anglia is supposed to be flat, but on a bike it seems to be made of hills. Halfway point at 50. Food, water, and press on. Sheringham, Cromer, Haysborough, Horsey Mill. 75-mile stop, 10 minutes. At 80, I'm counting down the miles left. 90. Kate catches me up, and we ride the rest together. Counting half miles now. 100 miles. Free water. Free beer. And that's what I did last Sunday. If I'm really insane, I'll do it all again next year.
Well, that's really cool, Tora. Aw, neato. Thank you for the story. Oh, and, I keep saying that I'm going to get a bike, but I'm lazy about getting one and maintaining one. It's easier to just, you know, for me to walk. Although, maintenance of my walking is kind of a pain. Don't you agree, little mist? Yeah. I got this laptop bag, and she thinks it's a cat bed. All right. Next up, we have Lizzie Goodcough. Let's hear what she's got. Ooh, this is going to be... Oh, yeah.
The bright orange sun hid in the horizon as a light breeze unsettled the weary soul foretelling the storm. Politicians, millionaires, artists, common people looking for oil or peace all tried to buy their land. Why do you need it? It's just sand. They didn't know about the trap door behind the house, the tunnel, and the living thing in there. One day, it would travel the 100-mile-long tunnel back to the surface and rule the world. They just had to feed it till then. They always wondered why no one ever noticed all those missing, nosy visitors. This is my story for the week. Do drop by my blog at lizziegoodcough.blogspot.com, and you can also follow me on Twitter. My name there is Lizzie Goodcough. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Lizzie, and I want to reiterate to go to her site, because she hits up all the dashes and waves and all those prompts. She comes up with some really cool stuff. I'm kind of jealous, because I see those and I'm like, what the hell am I going to write on that? Oh, man, inspiration. It's so fleeting. And she captures it. That's kind of cool. Next up, we have TJ. He kind of missed last week at the last moment, but he's got two for us this week. So, here's TJ.
Hi, this is TJ. I am from North Dakota, and in this installment of Worst Walk, I give you sighting. Flickering images of drunken celebrations, couples rehearsing their passionate intentions, and lonelier hotel guests texting taps and friends whizzed through the lobby and hallways and the security feeds I'd loaded to my thumb drives. There was otherwise nothing remarkable until about halfway through the third one, Karen let out a gasp to see her missing daughter, Lori, swimming in the hotel pool. The timestamp said she'd been there from about 10:57 to 11:23, at which point a young man appeared, tall and blonde, wearing shorts and a t-shirt. They chatted for about 20 minutes and disappeared from our view. I give you Pursuit. Karen's face was hard to read. Her 15-year-old daughter had disappeared. She had, however, been spotted. She'd not been kidnapped, locked in a stranger's windowless van, and already 100 miles away down the highway. She'd just met a boy and gone off with him, willingly. Was probably still in the hotel. Mom, however, wasn't entirely relieved by this turn of events either. We did, of course, have an image of the boy she'd met, and it was now after 6 a.m., so we made our way to the front desk to see if the desk clerk was back on duty.
Thank you, TJ. And when you're ready, come on back. I know you're busy with all sorts of moving stuff. Let's hope that it all comes out great, and anything that's broken is replaced by something more cool. Because every time you move. Something has to break. And you pray, pray that it's not the cage in which Satan is contained. You know, I remember then when we were moving from Chicago to Ohio and the cage that Satan was contained in broke. The movers, man, they were waving the contracts in our face. Not responsible. Yeah. Whatever. Oh, sorry. I still haven't fired up the coffee pot yet. Maybe I'll take care of that while playing Muncie's story for you. Here's Muncie's story. I'm gonna go get some coffee.
Story time! It's story time. Not time for crime, just story time. That time sublime, so sound the chimes. I'll say a bunch of words that rhyme, then hand it off to the story mime. Take it away, mime! Huh. I could have thought that out better. Okay. Plan B. I'll read it myself. 100 Miles by Chris Monroe. Within 100 miles of here is a place I'd love. Maybe a restaurant that serves cuisine from a country I've never visited. Or a club playing music I'm unfamiliar with but would dig if I gave it a chance. The specifics aren't relevant. The point is, it's the perfect place for me. It's within 100 miles of here. And I'd love it there if I ever went. I might never find this place. I get too trapped by routine to really look. But it exists. Can you say for certain there isn't a similar place within 100 miles of you? Short stories at munzeestories.blogspot.com, tweets at munzeemunzee. And as you listen to this, I'm taking the Starship Sofa Narration Workshop, so check back next week to find out if I learned anything from it.
Thank you, Muncie, and that gives me a great idea. Maybe I should just hand things over to a mime instead of a midget. That would be kind of cool. Folks, vote for that in the comments. There were actually some comments last week because I asked about the midget. Now let's see if I ask about the mime. Although, dead air, that's... I don't know if we want that. Maybe some people want that. Oh well, vote for that too in the comments. So that we don't have some dead air right now, let's go ahead and play something exciting. Here comes Zach Man.
It's a great day for a walk, exclaimed Joe. Mike replied, we still have over 26 miles to go, like a marathon. Who do you think I am, Charlie White? The car manual said, charge will last 100 miles, said Joe. I don't suppose you read the fine print about using the air conditioning or driving highway speeds, taunted Mike. Yes, but I thought it would go farther than this. Maybe I should have bought a plug-in hybrid, but the appeal of not having to do an emissions test was too hard to resist. Time to call the auto club.
You know, I could use an emissions test right now. Oh, sorry. What? Huh? Oh, thank you, Zach, man. Ooh, a message from Todd Cochran. Immediate podcast advertising opportunity and, whoops, delete. That takes care of that. All right, who's the next one up to bat? Oh, it's Steven the Nuclear Man, and he's talking about Alliteration Link today. Oh, cool. Well, let's get that link in the notes. Hold on, I gotta get this link in here. Wait. Hold on. What is that one doing there? They aren't back this week. No, not them. Hold on. Yeah, no, I got that link in there. All right. I thought I had that link there. Dang, it just... Whew, man. All right. Administering these things, so fun. Let's go ahead and get Steve's story out to you, as read by the largest midget in the world. Shane sighed in the back seat and tried to get his parents' attention. How far is it to Grandma's? It's a while yet, honey, How far is that, Mom? Her sigh echoed his own. 100 more miles. Shush, so Daddy can concentrate on driving. Shane looked out the window. Even an irritating sibling wouldn't be boring. Mom, how far now? Shane, just read one of your books. She'd used the mom voice, so he'd stopped asking and looked out the window again. When the first zombie shambled from the woods, he smiled. It wouldn't be a boring trip after all. Ha 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 ha! No, it wouldn't. Almost as fun as Mad Libs with zombies. Okay, we need a noun. Brains! All right, a verb. Brains! All right, an adjective. Brains! And a number. Brains! Aw, the story that results, it's priceless. Speaking of priceless, how about Cliff, Uncle Monster? But he's not a zombie. Uncle Monster. Or is he the uncle of a monster? I guess I need to go to Ancestor.com. I'll be back in a minute. Here's Cliff's story.
Marvin was a lazy monk. Marvin belonged to an unusual order. They believed that, since Jesus walked everywhere to deliver his message, that they had to walk to earn the right to tell their stories. Words were earned by walking. 1 mile equaled one word. A powerful sermon could involve a pilgrimage from Virginia to Oregon and back again. Marvin only made it from Philadelphia to Baltimore before sitting down to write. 100 miles means 100 words for Marvin. The abbot was furious. After all, who would want to read a story that's only 100 words long?
Thank you, Uncle Monster. I don't know why anyone would write a story 100 words long either. I'll have to think about it. I know someone who has thought about it and said yes, and that's Logan Berry. Let's go ahead and read Logan's story. Take it away, midget who is actually me. The sky is the same color as the sand, a luminous Photoshop-layered, grainy, noisy, soft-focused, glowing, diffused, warm, creamy gray and yellow. There is no safe horizon to guide me on my journey, no compass, only the feel of unreliable sand beneath my feet, and the sure knowledge that I must move or die. I am halfway there. I smell my own stale, dry, hot, recycled breath through the scarf, wrapped like bandages around my nose and mouth. Move or die. Finally, finally, I am there. I've traveled the 100 miles. I've traveled the 100 words. Wow. A word a mile? That's just madness. You can't even get that with Google Maps. Although, I'm sure there's an overlay you can do with Google Earth. Anyone try that? Oh. Thank you, Logan Berry. Next up, we have Guy David. No midget for him. He recorded his own. Let's listen to it.
Seven Years, a 100-word story by Guy David. It was a long but fruitful walk. Every word was a mile, and there were always 100 of them, but he pushed on, walking, stubbornly advancing word by word. He just had to. Everything depended on it. Lawrence fought off the evils of procrastination, the monsters of the writer block, managing to release a new story every day for 7 years, accompanied by the ever-loyal midget, the man from Planet Z, and an ever-increasing army of cats. The Mariner robot pressed on to conquer the world 100 words at a time, and thus the next 7 years began.
Thank you, Guy David. Although, it's an ever-decreasing army of cats. Well, I mean, sure, two new ones came in, but, well, one day, we all know what happens. Thank you, Guy David. Next up, it's Norval Joe. That's right. Get ready for the harmonica. Here it comes.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of the Flying Island Press and of The Price of Friendship, available at Podiobooks.com. And this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 319 with a prompt of 100 miles. So here's my story. I call it 28.9658747. The walls of the house appeared to bow inward as the intensity of the demon's screams continued to climb. Farmer, do you have a cellar? Sharika asked. Yes, he said. You stand on the trap door. The company and farmer crowded into the cellar and linked their arms, forming a circle. Sharika chanted. Instantly, all was dark. What happened? Owen asked. I moved us 20 feet north of the farmer's cellar, Sharika said. Great, Traveler said. Do that for another 29 leagues and we'll be at the mines. I'm sorry, she said. Moving that much earth is beyond my ability. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. According to his recent financial disclosure, Republican presumptive Mitt Romney earned between $50,000 and $250,000 last year from the sale of wiener dogs.
What? He sold wiener dogs? I think that's some sort of strange test. Okay. Am I supposed to say something about Obama now to restore balance? He sold, wiener buns. And the problem is, Mitt Romney sold them in packages of 8, and Obama sold them in packages of 10, and a bipartisan committee wasn't able to resolve the difference. Okay, how was that? Thank you, Norval Joe. Next up, we have a story from Red Goddess. This one came in under the wire. Whew! Thank goodness. I wouldn't want to pull out of the station without her on the train. Everyone should get aboard. All aboard! Next stop, Red Goddess. As guests whisk by Lola's desk, they yell gleefully, TGIF. Who can forget Friday is Margarita Day at the hotel? Since Lola is on duty, she can't drink alcohol, but can still mingle. Two giggling women in their 20s, wearing sundresses, designer dark glasses, hurried to the gift shop. They seemed immersed in chatter and trying on perfume samples. Lola suddenly misses her childhood best friend. She appreciates a good cocktail. They had a big fallout after college and have not spoken since. They now live 100 miles apart, yet the memories they shared are always a heartbeat away. Aww, I feel bad for Lola. Oh, well. Things will turn around. I promise. Thank you, Red Goddess. Finally, let's wrap this one up with a story from Planet Z. Are you ready for him? I'm not. Here's Planet Z.
My science book says that if you laid all the blood vessels in the human body end to end, they'd stretch 100 miles long. So me and Bobby picked up a hitchhiker, killed him, dumped him in the back of the pickup, and got to cutting. Parkersburg is 50 miles, so we figured we'd just head out there and back. A mile out of town, we look back, and the birds are picking the goods out of the gravel. Bobby said ignore them. They're just picking up the stuff we already measured. I wiped my hands and went back to cutting.
And there you have it. A bunch of really good stories about 100 miles. Thank you to everyone who was a part of the weekly challenge this week on the 100 Word Stories podcast. You can go to the website at podcasting.isfullofcrap.com for links to the author's website, the text of the stories, an archive of shows, social network sharing options, and a whole bunch of other stuff you won't bother with anyway. Oh, and there's also comments where, you can ask if the midget comes back, if keep reading them as much, you choose. Or maybe volunteer for, hey, I'll read them for people. Until next week, when the topic will be, oh, this is going to be a list, avoid bursting into flames, pet rock, circus, who let the dogs out, and butter. This is Lawrence Simon. No, that's not one of the topic bits. Saying thank you for listening, and, as always, keep it brief.